We're in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 35 and read through verse 59. Our focus is going to be on verses 48 through 59. So hear God's holy word. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for God's blessing. Our Father, how we thank you for your word. And how we thank you, Lord, that there is life in your word, that there is life in your Son. And so, Father, feed us this day. Bless he who brings your word, and bless us each, that we would hear what you have for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, as you know, had fed the 5,000. And the crowds followed him to the other side of the lake. And it was there that Jesus called them to faith. And they had the audacity to ask Jesus for a sign, as if he hadn't already given one to them. They complained that Moses gave them manna from heaven while Jesus only gave them one meal. You know, Moses fed us for 40 years. And you gave us a meal. Thanks, but, you know, that's not that great. They had failed to see and realize that Jesus is what that manna pointed to. Jesus is the bread from heaven. Jesus didn't merely come to give them fish and bread. He came as the bread of heaven. But unfortunately, the crowds didn't see the sign in the bread. They only saw the bread in the sign. But Jesus wasn't discouraged by their unbelief, for he knew that the Father had given him a people, and that they would come to him, and that he would indeed raise them up on the last day. He also affirmed that he came from heaven to do the will of the Father. He came to save a people. We also saw that it is the Father's will to save a people. And the Father accomplishes all that he wills, all that he determines. Last week, we saw the crowds again grumble and complain. They said, "This Jesus, he can't be from heaven. After all, we know his family. His dad, a nice guy, but all he is the village carpenter. How does he come from heaven? How does he think that?" Now, they understood Jesus' claim that he had divine origins. They didn't believe it. That was the problem. Right? They understood what he was saying, that he's come from heaven, but they said, "No, it can't be. We know Mary and Joseph. They're ordinary people." Today, Jesus repeats his claim that he is the bread of life. And to go on to point out the difference between the bread that he gives and the manna of Moses' day. And so today, three things we're looking at as we look at the living bread. First of all, we'll talk about the bread of life. Then we'll talk about the bread that Christ gives. And then we'll talk about feeding on Christ's flesh through faith. Not literally in the mouth, but through faith. Jesus again says that he's the bread of life. Verse 48, "I am the bread of life." As we said, the crowds failed to grasp what Jesus was saying. They had made the connection with the bread that Moses gave their forefathers in the wilderness. However, they gave credit for the manna to Moses and not to God. And somehow, although they understood that Jesus was the prophet better than Moses, they thought of Moses as better than Jesus. Because Jesus just gave them one meal. Moses fed them for 40 years. And so Jesus is showing here that he is indeed that prophet greater than Moses. He's not merely a new Moses, but the greater Savior that was prophesied by Moses. And so Jesus goes on and explains, verse 49, "Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died." You're boasting about Moses. You ate what he fed, and what happened to your fathers? They were fed for that day and the next day, but what happened? They died. I'm talking about bread from heaven. I'm talking about bread that doesn't sustain life merely here, but gives life for all eternity. For all eternity. The ancient manna sustained life for just a day at a time. The bread that Jesus offers is far more than that. Verses again, 48 through 50. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." Right? That bread sustained for a short period. I have bread, or I am the bread that sustains for all eternity. Now, I want to make a few points about the contrast here between the manna and the bread that Jesus gives. It's interesting as you think about it that the Israelites in the wilderness complained about the manna, and they did what? They revolted against Moses. And here the crowds are doing what? Kind of the same thing. They complain about the bread that Jesus gave and the bread that he offers, and he's calling them to faith, and they're doing what? They're revolting. Same thing. In other words, even in that, what ought we to see? The manna did what?
It pointed ahead to Jesus.
Second, when you think of the wilderness wanderings as a result of their sin, few ever left the desert. That entire generation witnessed great miracles. The great miracles of the Exodus, including the 10 plagues on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, but so many failed to believe and they ended up dying in the wilderness. The crowds had witnessed great things by Jesus. And what? Many of them are going to be left to die in their sins when the bread of life is right before their face. The result of their failure to believe is the same as the Old Testament, death. Three, let's really think about the contrast here between the bread that Jesus gave and the manna. The bread that Jesus gives conveys life, not just for a day, not just for the body, but for the soul. His bread overcomes the curse for sin. His bread grants eternal life. I am the living bread, verse 51, that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is the bread that every sinner needs. And if you eat that bread, you will live. Not a day, or not merely a day, but forever. Jesus is the bread every sinner needs. Without that bread, there is only death. With that bread, there is life, eternal life. Christ and Christ alone is the bread, and he provides the bread that gives true life. And so let's then talk about the bread that Christ gives. Again, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What's the bread that Jesus is talking about? His body. He's come to give his body. He's taken to himself a human nature. And the bread that he gives for the life of the world is his own flesh. Now, this phrase obviously confused the Jews. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? And now I do suppose, right, that saying is it does sound strange to our ears. Well, maybe we've become so familiar with it now, it's not as strange. But there's something strange about that if you start thinking about it, right? Eating your flesh? Drinking your blood? The bread that you give us is your own flesh? And it probably sounded a whole lot stranger even to the Jews, besides sounding something cannibalistic, perhaps, in their minds. What was probably going through the Jews' minds? We can't even eat the blood of animals. What's he mean by this? It makes no sense. Right? The food laws. You remember the food laws. But Jesus goes and he emphasizes, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If you won't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You will perish. Now, Jesus, of course, we know this. He's talking of a spiritual reality, not literally. But the Jews consistently had problems with understanding spiritual things. You remember how Nicodemus couldn't understand how one could be born again when he's old. Jesus, what do you want me to do? Crawl back in my mother's womb? How does that work? What are you talking about? He didn't understand that Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth from above. And you remember the water or the woman at the well. And Jesus offered her living water. She said, what? How are you going to get it? You don't have anything to draw the water with. And now he's saying, my flesh and my blood is what gives real life. And they're like, this doesn't sound right. Jesus is speaking of a spiritual reality. And they're going, this is not kosher. This is grotesque. But what does Jesus mean here? There are some who see the idea of eating the flesh of Jesus as meditating on his incarnate humanity. But the problem with that is that Jesus is referring to his incarnation. Or not referring to his incarnation, he's speaking in the future of the bread that he will give, not merely to his incarnation, he's talking about his death. Others think that Jesus is speaking about the Lord's Supper. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church has in their minds this idea of a doctrine of transubstantiation. By that, the Roman Catholics mean what? That the bread and the wine literally become the body and blood of Jesus, so that they believe, they claim, that they are literally eating his body and blood. Though it tastes otherwise, that's not what Jesus is talking about either. Several problems with that view. One, this would make no sense to the original hearers, as the Lord's Supper would not be instituted for another year. Two, the sacraments themselves do not save. Now, is the grace of Jesus proclaimed in the sacraments? Of course. But the sacraments themselves don't save. They communicate Christ to us, but the sacraments don't save. Yes, the Lord's Supper points to the broken body and shed blood of the Savior, but the Lord's Supper doesn't save. What did Jesus say? Verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Right? How you save? Through faith, not by eating the sacrament. What's the work of God? That you believe in him. Or verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not thirst. How are we saved? By coming to Christ and believing in Christ, or through that, right? We are saved, of course, by Christ's death, but we receive it through coming, through believing. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. How do we receive the gift of salvation? Through belief, through faith. Salvation is by faith in Christ, not through the Lord's Supper. And three, Jesus makes it clear that there's a spiritual meaning here, that he's not speaking literally. Because in verse 63, he says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. And it's also clear that Jesus is speaking about his own death, because in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He's going to give his life. We are saved because of his death. We are saved by his death. His body was broken. His blood was shed to redeem us from our sin. Through Jesus Christ, through his death, our sins are atoned for. They're paid for. Jesus didn't die so that we might be saved by taking the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper isn't in view here. It's Christ's sacrifice of himself that's in view. Yes, the Lord's Supper points to that sacrifice. But Christ is talking not specifically about the supper here. He's talking about his literal sacrifice ahead. Furthermore, let me remind you of what we already said. This is what? This is the time of the Passover. And what happened at the Passover? At the Passover, they celebrated Israel's deliverance from Egypt, when God sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn of Egypt. You remember God's people were spared by sacrificing a lamb and spreading the blood on the doorposts. Where the blood was seen, the angel of death would pass over. And we've seen throughout John already that Jesus is what? He's the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. Right? You remember proclamation of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God, and the bread that he gives is his sacrifice, his body broken, his blood shed. But also remember that in commemorating the Passover, they would do what? They would eat the Passover lamb. And so what's Jesus saying in this context? You have to eat of the real lamb. That is, you have to believe in this blood, in this body broken. That's what you need. So we know that it is Jesus' death that is being referred to here. It is his broken body and blood shed that gives life. But what does it mean to eat and drink of his flesh and blood? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Just as the Israelites received the Passover in faith, so what are we to do? Receive Christ by faith. To eat his body is to accept Christ, to receive Christ by faith. J.C. Ryle said this, "Whenever a man, feeling his own guilt and sinfulness, lays hold on Christ and trusts in his atonement made for him by Christ's death, at once he eats the flesh of the Son of Man and drinks his blood." And so a number of things to point out. Faith in Christ is necessary. Bread does not nourish anyone unless he does what? Eats it. Christ's death will not nourish anyone, will not grant life unless what? Unless one believes, unless one is resting on Christ. One must receive Christ's sacrifice by faith. Is your faith, therefore, in Christ? Have you acknowledged your sin and put your faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross? If you have, then what has happened? Spiritually speaking, you have eaten his flesh and drank his blood. Secondly, let me say to you, particularly the children, do not rely on your parents' faith. Right? Do you ever say at the dinner table, "Well, mom and dad ate, so I'm full"? Does that nourish you if mom and dad ate? No. Now, of course, it's a wonderful thing to have believing parents who raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But the question that you need to ask, not, "Is my dad a believer?" The question you need to ask is this: am I a believer? Am I resting on Christ? Have I eaten of his flesh and blood? Again, praise God for parents who point us to Jesus. But you're not saved by your parents' faith, or you're not saved through that faith. Is your faith in Jesus? Rest in Christ. Feed on Christ. Three, to feed on Christ is to trust that he died the death that your sins deserve. So look at the finished work of Christ. Think about this. Your sin earns. Your sin merits. My sin merits death. That's the wages for sin. But Christ feeds you. How? By taking death in your place. Is your faith in him? Are you resting on him? And if you are, you have eternal life even now. Jesus said, verse 54, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so there's a present promise and a future promise. Not he will have eternal life someday. No, the one who believes right now has eternal life. And then the future promise as well. And I will raise him up on the last day. Sometimes the older we get, the more concerned we get about eating well, and perhaps the more concerned we get about exercising. And we know these things can promote a longer life, right? Eating well and exercising. Eating right and exercising, that's a good thing. But brothers and sisters, one day, no matter how well we ate or how much we exercised, we will eventually die. And so again, of utmost importance, have you eaten of the bread that Christ gives? And if you have, if your faith is in him, then though you may die, you will live forever. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the bread that gives life. And this is indeed abundant life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood and abides in me, or abides in me and I in him. You see, eternal life, it is unending days of life. But it's not just that. It's abundant life where Christ abides with us and we with him forever. Death cannot and will not end eternal life. Because Jesus says what? I give them eternal life and I will raise them up at the last day. I am the bread of life. John chapter 11, verse 25. Remember what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The bread that Moses gave led to temporary life. And the Jews said, that was great, at least the Jews in Jesus' day. And Jesus is saying, you don't get it. I am the bread that gives life eternal. Trust in me. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In this chapter, we've talked about what we call the doctrines of grace. And I love talking about the doctrines of grace. They are so comforting. We've talked about election. God chooses a people for himself. We've talked about irresistible grace, that the Spirit draws a people to himself. We talked about Christ keeping, the Spirit keeping the elect, Christ dying for the elect. But some people then wonder, well, am I elect? How do you answer that question? Let me suppose that that is the wrong question to ask. We don't need to ask, am I elect? What do we need to ask? Have I eaten of the flesh and drank the blood of Christ? Because what does Jesus promise here? Not denying the teaching of election, but what does Jesus say here? If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. God, I don't know if I'm elect. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. In other words, what? You are elect if you've eaten the bread. And you've eaten the bread because you are elect. And so again, what's the greatest question asked? Not am I elect, but have I eaten? And if you've eaten, you will live forever. And this is true, whether you're rich or poor, male or female, high class, low class, middle class, Scottish, Dutch, German, English, Irish, Italian, Russian, Ukrainian. And that's just the listing from my family, by the way. But If you eat, you live. Praise God for sending his son into the world. He's the bread of life. Trust in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for the bread of life. We thank you that you've sent your son into the world to redeem a people for yourself. We thank you, Father, for the promise here that he who believes, that he who eats has eternal life, and you will raise him up on the last day. Lord, may it be that each person here would eat of his flesh and drink his blood to the glory of your great name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.